Radio Teranga. Radio Teranga is special radio. It is made for you. For you in Dakar. For you in Amsterdam. Radio Teranga, c'est Radio Hospitalité. Radio Teranga, c'est la connexion entre Dakar et Amsterdam. Entre Amsterdam.
It is the radio for making a better life, for making a new life. I would say to make a life again. So that is what we are doing, to make a life again. I will turn off now Babatunde Olatunji. He is from Nigeria, which is another country in Africa. But the song is nice because it has the right percussion, it has the right rhythm, it has the right move. So as an introduction to Radio Teranga, it is sure good because Radio Teranga is about Africa, not only about Senegal. It's about Africa and it's also about Europe. So, introducing the program. Okay. Except Lamine Cissé, de Dakar. Bonjour, Lamine. Bonjour, Lamine.
Bonjour.
Hello, Dakar. Okay. Bon repos. Okay, I'm introducing the program of today. It's a special issue because we have started with we have started preparing the manifestation and the commemoration and the homage to Papa Sacco on the 26th of October, and it has started with the arrival of Mama Sacco in Amsterdam. We have started with Momar Sacco in Amsterdam to build the baobab, the iron metal baobab. This is an important moment. After he received his visum last week, he made the trip and we started already visiting the Buurtwerkplaats on the Sloterplas, where there is a workspace where we can build the baobab. So that is a very important step in the development of the commemoration. As you know, the baobab is the key piece of the commemoration, of the manifestation, of the way to make life again. Yes. If we talk about to make a life again, I go back to the words of Papa Sacco that he said at the first commemoration of the Schiphol fire, almost 20 years ago. He said, "We are here to make a life again, together as one." And I repeat this because it's a deep understanding for me about Sacco and also about Africa. And now, talking about the fire, we will be joined in a few minutes by one of the survivors of the Schiphol fire. His name is Mohamed Ba. He came from Sierra Leone. He was one of the younger migrants in detention in this prison on the airport of Amsterdam. One of the younger, and maybe that is one reason why among the survivors, he has maybe succeeded in finding his way in making a new life. That's what we want to know from him. But I'm not sure if he's able to join because I just talked with him and now he's not there. So that is part of the program. And also I want to mention that we have a nice recording with a discours by Lamine Dram. C'est une séquence du programme de l'autre semaine. C'est un discours sur le fait de partir. C'est un discours philosophique, disons, sur le thème de partir. Et en finale, c'est aussi Mustapha Sacco qui parle d'un certain partir. Ça sera en français. Mais je crois qu'il faut pas terminer la registration, Michel. De opname is opeens gestopt. Gek is dat. Enfin. Mais on va d'abord à Dakar. Lamine, comment ça va?
Oui, ça va et vous? Ça se passe bien, j'espère.
Ok. Il y a des nouvelles?
Ça va. Entre moi, toutes les nouvelles que j'ai, c'est mes nouvelles tableaux. Voilà.
Ok.
Voilà, c'est dans le cadre du travail.
Ok. Et autour de toi, dans le village?
J'ai pas trop le temps de voir les gens ces derniers jours. Je suis très occupé aussi par les journées de travail. Okay. Voilà, c'est un peu. Je suis un peu recentré sur moi-même.
Ok. Oh. Et c'est une méditation ou c'est un exercice ou c'est une inspiration?
Non, le temps de se concentrer pour avoir une production comme je le voudrais en fait. It's like for me, it's time to upgrade the level. You know what I mean? So I just focus on my work like day by day. And you know, and last time Mustafa was here, and you were celebrating the one of his our son at his last born birthday. It was okay. Sunday, and that was nice. Yeah. Yeah, that was nice too. Yeah. You were there with Mustafa and also my brothers and Ali's wife, my cousin. That was nice. Yeah. Except that I was just walking.
Okay.
And how about Momo? Why didn't join the radio? Because he's now with you, I think, no?
Yeah, Momo is probably listening, but he's not a real talker, you know? He's a maker, and he's not so much like Mustafa. But Mustafa is coming, he said.
Oh, because I thought that none of us are especially a talker, like we're not journalists, we're not like, but sometimes we have to learn to talk with people. That's the only way that we could talk with them, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And I thought that you will help Momo to do this, because at a certain age in life, you have to, you know what I mean? You have to do things that you never
can you hear
do.
Me?
You know?
Yeah, here's Mohammed. Hello.
Yes.
Sorry, Lamine, I'm interrupting you. You're talking about how we can learn in life. Now I think we can learn something from Mohammed. But let me introduce you, Mohammed. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And you?
All right. Nice face. Nice beard.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. I already introduced you a little bit as one of the survivors of the Schiphol fire.
Yeah.
That's how we know each other. But maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are, what you're doing.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
Yes, my name is Mohammed Ba, as my Honorable Joe has just mentioned to you. And I used to live in Holland as well, and I was one of the survivors of the Schiphol fire. And after the incident, I think 10 years down the line, I moved to the UK.
Okay.
I have a family over here.
All right.
But I've always kept in touch with Joe, because that memorial is part of my life. I always say that. I think once or twice, but this year I intend to attend as well, because I think it's very important for us that are alive, you know, to.
Uh-oh, I think there's a baby that has interrupted our emission, so maybe Mohammed can join again. Okay, that's life. Mohammed has a daughter of 1 year and 7 months. And she likes to play while we make the radio. Oh, we wait till she comes back, and he comes back, no problem. Maybe, Michel, you can play a little music in the meantime while we wait for Mohammed to continue our...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, yeah, you're there. Okay.
Yes, so, you know, so that's how life has been, you know. But
yeah,
it has always been part of... I've always been like not 100% forgot about what happened in Schiphol. You know, but through other job that I do, I get some healing, you know, through that.
Healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a very difficult thing, to be honest, when you think about it. And I think about the likes of Papa Sako, you know, it was very instrumental in this whole thing. And
how? Do you mean?
Papa Sako was, you know, the one that I attended, you know, he was shedding tears on that day at Schiphol when we went to plant the tree.
Yes,
you know, it touched me so much. You know, I still see him when I think about that day, that particular memorial. I still see him like standing there, you know, when we erected the first anniversary.
You know? It was painful but also beautiful, I think.
Yeah. Painful and beautiful, right? Yeah. So that is me, and
yeah,
I'm looking forward to this year coming to join the rest of the one that will be available to come.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to be there. So
yeah, right. But I have a question about 10 years ago. You say you left Eindhoven and you went to London.
Yes, yeah? Yes,
that's a big change too.
Yeah, it's a big change indeed. It's a very big change.
How that came about?
Well, you know, when I was here in Holland, I had a daughter who was born here in 2009 in the UK. So when I got my passport, I decided to come over to join them.
Okay.
So that's how I ended up here. And I came over, I started to study, and I did my studies. So I'm here. I'm stuck with the London factor, but I always miss Holland. Holland is home for me.
I see.
Yeah.
So you don't have bad memories of the Netherlands?
I have bad memories, but that is it's part of life, you know. Life is like a river, you know. We know how the wave goes. Sometimes it's smooth, sometimes it's rough. You know?
Yeah.
So when it's smooth, you always forget about the roughness of the sea. So I have a good memories of Holland. So I will always be, Holland is always in my heart, to be honest.
Yeah, you sound very positive, man.
Yep.
And I must say, we talked about it already yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You are an exceptional man because you are one of the few survivors who is willing to talk about what happened and what happened to you.
Yeah.
Because most of the brothers and sisters, they try to forget. They don't want to go back to this memory because it's frightening and it's not easy.
Yeah, I can understand. They, you know, every one of us deal with issues differently, you know. We are all the same, but sometimes the way we handle issues when they happen to us is different. We do react. You know, and for me, I count myself very lucky. I'm not blessed than the rest of the people or the one that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I count myself a lucky one to survive it, because in one of the cell that people died, the very day I was taken to Schiphol, I was placed in the cell number 11 with one of the people who passed away that night. So before the end of the day, they came and moved me to another cell where I was alone. And I said to the officer, why are you taking me away where I have someone to talk to in the room? And then you locking me up in a different room alone. He said, well, it's an order they got. You understand? He said,
an order. Yeah.
Yeah. He said to me, it's an order they got. They gave him an order to move me from that cell. So
he didn't say why.
He didn't say why. So
he didn't know why.
Exactly. He didn't know why.
He didn't care.
No, he didn't at all.
Yeah. Hey, sorry, I have to interrupt you because I have to ask the other people to clear their microphone because it is disturbing the conversation.
Yeah, Mustafa,
fermez la microphone, s'il vous plaît. Okay, c'est mieux. Okay, we can continue.
Yeah.
So, you know, for that reason, I said, probably if I would have been left in that cell, maybe I would have been one of the people that died that night of the fire.
Yes. So you escaped.
Yeah. So.
But tell me, you were in number 11 and they moved you to another cell.
They moved me to another cell, yes.
How and are you?
Sorry, Pauline, please.
Salam alaikum.
Hello, Pauline. Okay, mais s'il vous plaît, fermez ta microphone. On est en pleine conversation en anglais, ok?
Là, c'est okay. Fermé?
Non, pas encore.
J'appuie où?
En bas, sur l'écran, il y a l'image du microphone. Merci. Voilà, ok. Mohamed, I want to know exactly, because you said you were first in cell 11.
Yeah.
You were together with someone else?
With someone else, yeah. The Bulgarian, one of the Bulgarian. I was in the cell with that guy.
Okay. Yeah. Vladislav Petrov.
Yeah, so they moved me to another cell.
Okay.
Know? I was shocked. I told the speaker, I said, well, why are you moving me from my, where I have someone to talk to? You know, and you're taking me to an isolated place where I'm going to be alone. And I haven't done anything wrong. He said, it's an order they gave him. So,
you know what I think?
Okay.
The policy in the prison was to put the nationalities together.
Okay.
I think what they did is to put the Bulgarian together with the Romanian, maybe, because they share a language.
Yeah, probably.
And you know, also, Papa Sacho, he also escaped after changing his cell. And that is how the two brothers from Suriname, they were killed.
I see.
So yeah. It's the same escape like you had.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think that is the reason that Papa Sacho cried during the memorial.
I see. That makes sense. Wow.
He cried a lot because he was so sorry for these young people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You are one of those young people.
Yeah. Indeed.
How old are you now?
I'm 42.
Okay, so you were 22 in those days.
Yeah.
That was pretty young.
Yeah, pretty young indeed.
Now, I have to ask you,
mm-hmm.
can you tell us about your feelings, about your experience, about your healing?
Well, sometimes it's a tough one, to be honest, just like the others who don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to talk, but then when you take a moment, you know, and then you reflect that and now, you know, you'll be thankful to Allah, you know, for being alive, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to appreciate life because, like I said earlier on, it's not because you're too blessed or you're blessed than all the others. You're just lucky. Just God is not ready for you yet. It's not your time, because at the end of the day, we'll all have to die at some point. There's mm-hmm. no escape to death, you know. So the thing is, those things will come when you have those bad feelings, you know. But then when you think about that you survived it, and you also find a way to encourage yourself. You know, to find a way to breathe and say, "Oh, at least I'm still alive. I'm thankful
to God." Can you tell me how you find the way?
Well, through I do some work over here with immigrants like me as well. So
mm-hmm.
you know, when you listen to their stories, you know, translating their language, you know, to people into English, like people from Sierra Leone or Guinea, sometimes having to do people from Senegal or Gambia who speaks Fula, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
you speak, you know, many languages, huh?
Listening to these stories, listening to their stories. You know, you learn a lot.
Sorry, Mohammed, the baby is making a lot of noise.
Yeah, she's gone. They've taken her away.
All right, thank you.
So, okay. You know, listening to some of these stories, you know, what they've gone through crossing the Mediterranean Sea to get to the UK, you know, the pains they go through, and then you think about yourself, how you suffered, you know, and you realize, you know what, if you think you struggle, there are worse people that have struggled worse in their life than you. So you always like human beings, we're like in the middle, you know, like your fingers, they're never equal. So that's how I see life now, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not equal. Some sufferings are worse than the others, you know? Some suffer more, some suffer less. But at the end of the day, if you're alive, you're thankful to God.
I see.
Yeah.
But then you talk about the last 10 years that you did this work interpreting.
Yeah.
Is that how your healing started?
Yep, that's how it started.
Okay, so
so many stories you hear, you know, personal stories.
Yeah.
It touches you so much. But then at the end, you realize that once they get to this country, they find a way to comfort themselves. They forget about all the struggle in the sea. Imagine being in a boat where you have like maybe 100 or 200 people and everyone dies except one or two or five people.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that trauma? We've had cases like that a lot. People crossing when everyone literally died on the boat. And you end up, you know, barely surviving when they were rescued on sea.
Yeah.
So that is very traumatic. It's like you have death. So if you see some of these people trying to, you know, live a life after those incidents, you will also have to learn to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can help them?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can. Sometimes, you know, it's... these things, you need to talk about them. When you talk about them, it will help a lot, you know. Because that's the problem what some people have over here when they come. They don't have people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
When these things happen, you need someone to talk about it. You need someone that you trust, like you know it's not going to let you down. Because sometimes people hold on to these informations because they're scared that when they say them, they will go and grasp them up to either the stage or things that will affect their stay or their status of where they find themselves. So when they have confidence in you, that you that kind of person, they are willing to talk to you. You will let their stress come out. You will explain all their stress, and then talking about it will help a lot, you know.
Yeah, and that takes a lot of time, also.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time, though. Indeed.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen overnight.
You know? Mm. Yeah. Great job, man. Great job. But you talk about the last 10 years, and before that, there were another 10 years.
Yeah.
Your time in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Now, I really wonder, you know, I know a little bit about how the survivors have been treated after the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And every case is different, but I wonder how you felt after the fire, how they treat you.
It wasn't easy. It was hard, first of all, to get me a place to live where I can cook without the flame. You know, the gas cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Up to date, I'm allergic to that. I don't use gas cooking in my house.
Okay.
Yep. I don't want to see like flame.
The flame
just put me off completely.
So okay.
I cook on electric. Even where I live right now, it's electric that I cook on. I don't cook on gas.
You still do that?
I still do that, yes. I still do.
Yeah. It's a good habit. It's good for nature, too.
Yeah, cook on electric. So, you know, it was a bit of a struggle to get me a place to live where I cannot, you know, where I can't cook with gas. So most of the houses at that time were gas. So the second thing was, you know, like closing the door. What's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
I hate someone shutting the door on me.
I see.
Yeah. But all of that is it's much better now, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's much better now. Yeah.
And how about sleeping?
Oh, sleeping has gotten better than before. It was tough the first 10 years. I used to go for therapy for long. I went for therapy a lot for a very long time. To the psychologist. I went to the psychologist a lot.
Okay.
To the psychologist, yes. A very long time.
Helpful?
Yeah, it helped. It helped me a lot. Yeah.
Did they give you a lot of medicine?
Oh, yes, they did. They did. I was given a lot of medication. And GGD in Eindhoven, you know? GGZ, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
I had some very good doctors there, Angela. I still can remember some of their names. They were very, very nice to me.
Okay.
Yeah, they were very nice. Yeah.
You are the only one living in Eindhoven now, of the brother.
Yeah, the only one, indeed.
How did you end up there?
Well, because my procedure was around there before the whole thing started, and I knew people already in Eindhoven. I had a Dutch family there, so with their influence, this is how they helped me out to get a place in Eindhoven.
Okay.
Yeah. At that time, they were like 70 years old couple. They were working for they were helping Vluchtelingen Clan. I don't know if you know that place in Eindhoven.
Vluchtelingenwerk, yeah, there's a group.
No. Vluchtelingen Clan is the church. During the Second World War, they helped a lot during the war, you know, and that's how they started the project in the church. So most of the sisters in the church were like 14, 15, 16 years old. And before I left Holland, they were like very, very old, Sister Beth. And most of them have died now anyway. But the project is still ongoing.
Yeah. And you were part of that.
Yeah, I was part of that. Even I started translating for them as well when I got my place. And they used to call me when they get people who are struggling with the language. I used to go there and help out.
Yeah.
Or some of them, when they need like to acquire a passport from Sierra Leone, I used to advise as well.
Yeah. So you turn from a victim, you turned into a helper.
Yeah, into a helper. I think I was destined for that because I love it, you know. I love it. This is why my studies here is something related to that. International development with NGO management. That's what I did.
Nice.
So the reason being because of, you know, sometimes you can be very good in these relief jobs, but because you're not you don't have a qualification, sometimes you find it hard to get into the mainstream frontline. You know,
it's all about papers. Yeah, I know.
Exactly, it's all about papers, and sometimes the papers matters, but not really the paper matters than the person who is willing. Because I think doing this Vluchteling work is like this refugee thing. I think it's something that's in you, inherently has to be in you, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's not about, because just like I say to doctors, you know, like during COVID, I always take the nurses and the doctors as example. During COVID, every one of us were running away from dying, right? We stayed home, but then the nurses and the doctors were still in the hospital. And most of them died as a result of trying to heal others, to cure others. So if it's for the money, they will avoid. They will just stay home and say, no, I don't want to die. But they love to do, they want to save life. Even if it costs them their own life to save other people's life, so be it. You know. So for me, I think it has to be something within yourself that you're willing to do.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the drive that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also the reward you get.
Yeah, the reward. Yeah, it's you can measure it.
Like sure.
Putting a smile on people's faces, you know, it means a lot. You know.
Just feeling.
Yeah. Feeling is good. Feeling is really good.
Now, this is a fundamental question.
Mm-hmm.
That that is raised by the death of Papa Sacco and organizing this manifestation. How can you turn the pain into power? And you just gave us an example of how you can manage to make a life again by extending your experience, connecting with others in the same shit, and trying to become human again together.
Yeah, yes.
That's what we're talking about.
It's very important. Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, man. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. I wonder if people who are listening have another question for you. Maybe Mustafa or Lamine or Michelle. You can open your mic and ask a question to Mohammed or say something in reaction to what he said.
First, I wanted to ask a question. Mohammed, my name is Lamine Cisse. I'm from Dakar, Senegal, and I used to work in art. And the main question that I have is, since then, have you returned in Holland, in Netherlands, since then you live, what inspired you the most in life after the fire in Amsterdam?
Thank you so much, Mr. Lamine, for your question. I've returned. I went once for the memorial. I think that was the first or the second anniversary. Second anniversary, I did go. Isn't it, Joe? And what really inspired me as well, is the fact that we Papa Sacco, in blessed memory, last taking his life away. And we have people who are still standing there trying to keep this thing alive.
Yeah.
People like Joe and the entire team. Brother, even if I don't want to move, when I just think about the effort they're putting into this thing, it gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like crying, you know?
Yeah.
Because imagine, how do you call it? Joe, I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
What has happened has happened, you know what I mean? And Papa Sacco has gone. Some people are not interested to come. Some of the victims, some of the survivors, they don't want to come. But he still keep pushing.
And
as for me, I think that's more than enough inspiration. Honestly,
I'm
very much inspired by M2M and the work of Joe and the rest of the team.
Seriously,
it's very inspiring. I think it's lesson to us as human beings. You know, it's not always about profit. Sometimes
no, it's not about
money
it.
Means nothing. You know, honestly, money means nothing. But when you believe in something, you stand for it. I think it's all you need.
Yeah,
you know, to move you. You know?
Yes, I.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to meet you, bro. Nice to talk to you too, and share the experience that you have with us.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Lamine from Dakar meeting Mohammed in London. This is Radio Teranga. This is Dochandem Ak Dochandem. Mohammed is a real migrant, you know.
real.
You move along,
And let me tell you, let me tell you a brief history about my family roots.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, my great grandfather is from Senegal.
Oh.
Yes, my real last name is Sal, but you know, because of migration, they born my granddad in Guinea, and my granddad traveled to Sierra Leone, had my dad there, so.
Yeah.
So that's how, you know, fuller people, how they migrate with business and the animals, you know?
So
that's how. So I have a Senegalese root.
your name sounds Senegalese because there is also a lot of Senegalese who have the same name, Ba.
My granddad is Sal. So They were three that came to Guinea, three brothers. Those three Sal brothers, they settled in different parts of the country.
Dad
traveled across the border. That's how I got born in Sierra Leone. So we are all connected, you know.
We are all connected. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro, for the information and the experience for that you share with us, the sharing. You know, the radio is like open every Wednesday, and I mean, it's for share, for love.
And
talk about
what
you said. Thank you, bro.
No problem, bro. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Mohammed, I want you to meet also Mustafa. Mustafa Sacco is here, also in Dakar. Maybe on the roof of the Sacco house.
Okay.
Mustafa
hello.
Is the son, sons of Papa Sacco.
Hello.
How are
hello,
you?
Hello, Mohammed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine, bro. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, me too. Me too, bro. Me too. How is Dakar?
Yeah. Dakar is fine, man. It's just running.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a nice time now.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
But I hear every story, and you know, I feel very sad, and I say you sorry about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was so sad, and I have many discussion with my dad before he left.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you one question.
Yeah.
About in the prison, they treat you like a criminal or like a migrant.
Well, it's at that particular place in Schiphol, this was not like a proper prison. It was
okay.
It was like a holding cell. Yeah. So
So
because it was at the airport and it was meant for people to be placed there for temporarily. And maybe within a week or two, they arrange a flight and then they take people out.
Okay.
So when they caught me, that was my first question to them. I said, listen, I am not a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Do not put me in prison here. Send me back to my country. That was my word when they arrested me, when I went to stamp.
Definitely.
I said, do not put me in jail. I'm not a criminal. Send me back to my country. So I ended up in Schiphol, you know. So that's how that place was. It wasn't like a proper prison. It wasn't prison setup. It was a, how will I say, a temporary holding accommodation place, you know.
You know, it was a shit house. It was a shit house. It tended for people who were smuggling drugs in their stomach.
It was like a container, Karima.
They were supposed to be there for only 2 days to shit it out.
Yes.
And then be sent back to Suriname mostly.
Yes.
It was a shit house.
Yeah. It's sad, to be honest.
Yeah, but sorry about everything. I say you sorry you know, that sad story and that sad moment, you know. And God will bless you, inshallah, Muhammad.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Where do you from? Where do you from here in Africa?
Sierra Leone.
Hey, Bobo, you are my Bobo, man. You are my boy. Because
no
I have
many
friends at Gambia.
Don't worry, I'm going to come to Senegal this year.
Yeah.
When I come, I would love to meet all of you guys, all of the people from the Radio Teranga. I would love to meet you all.
Inshallah, you are welcome. You are welcome, bro.
Yes. Me too. We'll be happy to see you guys.
Yeah. Thank you,
Mohammed.
Yes, thank you to meet you.
You tell
us about your future, because I want to know before we end, what is your dream?
Well, my dream is to have my humanitarian, how will I say, my dream, to be honest, I just want to work in the refugee industry, in the refugee field, you know, helping out people. Because, you know, I see our young youths are dying in the sea. And for some of them, I think they need some education and then educate the politicians as well. Honestly, there is so much things that I want to do, but I don't know how to do them. I don't know if I ever going to be able to achieve them, to convince some of these youths. Honestly, it's sad when I see these young souls dying in the sea. I cry. I stop watching the news. during the time people started coming so much when they were dying in the sea. And because of Gaza, I stopped now for good. I don't watch the news anymore because it kills my heart slowly. So I stopped. You know, it's like a situation, you find yourself in a situation you want to help, but then you don't have power to help. So that's the situation I find myself. But the future looks very bright on my side. I'm looking forward to really expanding my network in this field.
Sure. Nice. I think we can continue for hours, but I think it's also time to end the program. We have only 1 hour.
Okay.
But I'm sure we'll meet soon again.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you guys, and salamu alaikum.
Take care, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye now. Bye.
One love.
Yeah, me too.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Muhammad.
So, okay.
Thank you.
Hey, écoute.
Hello, Lamine Cissé.
Yeah, I'm the. Yeah,
on va changer de langue. On va parler français.
Respect, bro.
Ok. Parce que.
Ok. Okay.
Je regarde l'heure et on a encore le temps pour jouer le discours sur partir fait par Lamine Dram l'autre jour après le programme. J'ai enregistré ça. Et c'était une bonne histoire aussi avec une participation au final de Mustapha.
Yeah.
Et c'est touchant, c'est en français et c'est pour cela qu'on va changer la langue. Je crois qu'il y a plein d'écouteurs à ce moment. Pauline et Martel aussi, ils écoutent. Et on va maintenant écouter si Michel a préparé pour jouer le discours de Lamine Drame of Manifa sur le thème de partir. Allez-y, Michel. Yeah.
Je salue tout le monde sur Radio Teranga, Teranga Bafao. J'aimerais bien donner mon point de vue sur le sujet, le fait de partir. Partir, c'est quelque chose qui est un sujet qui veut dire que un sujet universel. Bah, pourquoi universel? Parce que partir, c'est très important. Et puis, il y a tellement d'étapes sur le fait de partir.
Parce que we cannot hear what is playing because it's only on the radio and not in Yitzhak.
Préparer où tu vas.
But if you turn on Radio Patapou, you can listen to the story yourself.
Mais
I will
où?
Put the link. In the chat room,
avant
and you can listen to
te trouver sur le lieu.
Online. Okay.
Et ce travail-là, c'est très important pour le partir. Parce que avant de partir, il faut savoir partir. Il faut savoir préparer pour partir. Il faut savoir où partir encore. Et ça, parce que on est là dans la vie. Je peux dire qu'à mission, c'est normal qu'on doit partir. Parce qu'on n'est pas Internet. Et dans la vie aussi, tu vois un Sénégalais qui habite au fond de l'autre nord du monde, tu vois aussi un autre pays, parce que c'est les essences des pays sur l'humanisme, parce qu'il y a des essences qui amènent le fait de partir. Parce que aussi partir, moi aussi, j'avais tamit, si tu fais la tradition, tu peux me dire que ne sois pas long, peut-être tu vas faire la tradition. Je peux continuer?
Oui, tu peux continuer.
Wow, parce que ici, en Afrique, je peux dire qu'il faut bien étudier le fait de partir. Parce que dans le monde, c'est une forme de théâtre. Parce que le monde, c'est une forme. Parce que si tu vis dans le monde, dans cette forme-là, parfois tu as envie. Tu as envie de quitter. Tu as envie de partir travailler. Tu as envie de partir faire du bien pour un autre, qui a envie de voir tes amis, de partir voir tes amis, qui a envie de partir en Europe par tous les moyens. Ce soir, qui a envie, ça, le fait de envie de partir, cette envie-là, il faut, c'est très important, et, mais il faut qu'on mesure les étapes. Parce que chaque chose, il y a des étapes, il y a des préalables. Parce que avant de partir, c'est bien de partir, mais si on dit avant de partir, bon, par exemple, j'ai envie de partir. J'ai dans mon mémoire envie de partir. En ce moment-là, je dois calculer première étape où je dois partir. Et qu'est-ce que je vais faire là-bas? Et quel moyen que je vais rentrer dans ce pays ou bien aller en voyage, partir dans le milieu. Même avec ton ami, si tu dois partir, tu dois avoir un objectif de partir dans ce lieu. Parce qu'on ne part pas pour rien aussi. On part pour un objectif principal. Parce que bon, nous sommes en mission dans la vie. Il faut qu'on parte parce qu'on a des pieds, on a l'intelligence, on connaît ce qui se passe dans le monde et avec l'Internet. Et soit, il y a une échange de valeurs que l'Internet nous a prouvé. Ça a donné envie aussi de partir. Et pour cela, il y a d'autres qui prennent le désert, il y a d'autres qui partent sur la mer. Et il y a d'autres qui trouvent n'importe quel problème, le fait de partir. Parce que partir, ce n'est pas quelque chose qui est interdit dans la vie, parce que c'est une chose universelle. C'est une chose universelle, parce qu'on vit avec. Mais avec notre esprit, on doit mesurer toujours, si on a une question qu'on doit poser, que je dois partir, et il y a des prévalables, il y a une préparation, il y a une préparation pour aller dans ce lieu. Parce que aussi on a l'esprit de pouvoir analyser sans arriver dans le lieu. On peut prendre des renseignements, et ça, mais partir, le fait de partir, c'est ça, c'est un peu comme l'immigration. Hein, parce que c'est un peu la même chose, parce que l'immigration est universelle. Parce qu'on ne peut pas être un pays... seuls les Hollandais vivent ensemble, seuls les Camerounais vivent ensemble, seuls les Sénégalais vivent ensemble. Parce que le monde n'est pas construit ainsi. Parce que le monde est construit sur l'essence, sur l'essence des valeurs, l'essence des humains. Est-ce que tu vois un Toubab qui vient au Sénégal? Et comme un Africain qui va au autre pays, on voit pour la première fois, il voit un Africain. Tu vois, c'est une recherche. C'est de l'art vivant. Et c'est pour cela que partir, c'est très important. Mais partir aussi, on doit cultiver. Et le problème est qu'on ne cultive pas l'amour humain. C'est ça le monde, c'est ça notre problème dans le monde. C'est pour cela que le partir, c'est difficile. C'est pour cela qu'il y a tellement de visas, il y a tellement de sécurité sur le fait de partir. Parce que partir, ça doit être quelque chose qui est libéral. Libéral pour tout le monde, pour tout le monde. Mais il faut sécuriser, c'est seulement. Parce que le monde nous a imposé l'essence. Mais le fait de partir, il y a beaucoup de façons de partir. Tu peux rester au Sénégal, partir dans un quartier, et soit, et... Il faut aller voir amis, tes parents et faire beaucoup de choses. Mais le fait de partir, c'est une question qu'on doit poser, qu'on doit organiser, parce que c'est un mot, et ce mot a tellement de fond. Parce que pour partir, pour bâtir quelque chose, il faut savoir comment le faire avant de bâtir quelque chose. Parce que c'est ça le problème. Parce que partir, il faut se poser la question et trouver les solutions avant de partir. Parce que à Nolof, on dit bëgg dem taxula dem. Parce que bëgg dem taxula dem, parce que ça veut dire que il y a l'esprit qui veut partir. Mais l'humain qui est sur place, c'est comme moi, je suis là, je dis je veux partir à Nolof. Il y a deux choses. Mon esprit est à Hollande, je veux partir à Hollande, mais je suis au Sénégal, mais réellement, si je veux partir, je dois aussi me poser la question, quel moyen et comment, qu'est-ce que je vais faire là-bas, et beaucoup de choses que, mais ça doit être dans une but d'essence de valeur, parce que le monde est fait d'une essence de valeur. C'est une essence de valeur. Parce que moi, je viens avec mes valeurs. Et aussi, tu as des valeurs que je vais prendre sur toi. Et toi aussi, tu vas prendre mes valeurs. C'est pour cela, le fait de partir, c'est une essence de valeur humaine. C'est universel. C'est quelque chose qu'on doit respecter, qu'on doit bien voir les choses. Parce que le fait de dire partir, c'est simple. Mais Tamit, le but, l'essentiel, la richesse qui est le fait de partir, c'est une richesse universelle. Parce que tu vois comme Yo est venu sur le terrain au Sénégal, il a amené beaucoup de richesses. Et soit, il a amené beaucoup de richesses. Et avant de venir, il avait planifié le fait de partir, je vais au Sénégal, il avait planifié ça chez lui. Et il est venu aussi. Et il a des résultats, mais aussi il a une autre culture qu'il a vue, une autre essence de valeur qu'il a vue. À chaque fois, partir, c'est ça. À chaque fois, si tu pars dans une autre terre, tu cultives une autre richesse que tu n'avais pas. C'est pour cela le fait de voyager tôt, de sortir tôt, de partir tôt. Ça te donne une richesse qu'on dit dans l'islam. Il faut que tu te saches. Parce que le fait de partir, il y a l'expérience. Je peux dire que c'est le plus grand des recherches qu'un étudiant ou bien un écrivain. Parce que un voyageur, c'est quelqu'un qui part. C'est comme un pigeon. Mais c'est il a les plus connaissances, c'est le plus grand connaisseur que tout le monde. Ouais, c'est ça. Parce que c'est pour cela partir. Bon, je suis très content aussi. Sur le thème, je me regrette beaucoup, j'étais en retard. Mais je salue tous les auditeurs de Radio Teranga. Et aussi, je vous signale que notre page qui sont à Facebook, à YouTube, il faut le consulter, il faut ajouter aussi à tous les éditeurs, parce que j'ai consulté notre YouTube et il y a des pages qu'on n'a pas consultées. Il faut ajouter des plus. Il faut aimer aussi, il faut partager. Et vraiment, je suis content de communiquer avec le monde Teranga Radio. Et je salue tout le monde, Tafa, Lamine, Yoï.
Wow.
Merci.
Dégueulé.
Je vais vous donner une anecdote sur Papa Sarro lorsqu'il voyageait, lorsqu'il partait, lorsqu'il quittait le Sénégal. À l'aéroport, il m'a dit, Tafa, je vais partir. Hein. J'ai dit oui, je sais. Et il m'a dit, je ne sais pas quand est-ce que je vais revenir. J'ai dit oui. Mais il avait envisagé de revenir. Mais des fois, tu vois, comme il l'a fait, il est venu. Il a envisagé de retourner. Et il a retourné. Des fois, l'homme propose, il dispose. Lorsqu'on a des discussions avec mon père à l'aéroport, il m'a dit, t'as pas, moi je pars. Hein. Mais voilà. Je ne sais pas.
C'est mon papa, ça pour moi.
Il dit d'abord voilà. Lorsqu'il est parti, il a fait des années là-bas, des fois on discute, des fois on parle. Il me dit, Moustapha, tu sais, j'ai fait un petit voyage de Dakar à Hollande. Jusqu'à présent, je ne suis pas revenu, mais tu sais que on doit faire beaucoup de choses avant que je prépare encore dans le grand voyage. J'ai dit quoi? Il m'a dit, il faut qu'on fasse des choses avant que je parte. Il a dit encore, partir encore. Parce que il y a un autre voyage encore. Par rapport à des voyages de passeport et de visa, il y a un autre voyage d'aller-retour. Et on parlait souvent de ce voyage. Je disais, Moustapha, un jour je vais partir. Hein. Ce sera ce sera le grand voyage, quoi. Le voyage d'aller sans retour. Et ce qui s'est passé, il est parti. Maintenant, tu vois, on prie pour que son âme repose en paix, mais on a toujours parlé sur le dernier voyage. Mm-hmm. Tu le veux ou pas, tu l'attends ou pas, ça va venir. Cet voyage est là. Si tu le programmes, ça va venir. Si tu ne l'as pas programmé, ça va venir. C'est un voyage qui va, que tout le monde va y passer.
Chacun a son tour, oui.
Chacun a son tour pour passer dans cette porte. Et tu n'as pas besoin de visa ni de passeport pour cet voyage.
Non.
Et on a beaucoup parlé sur cette grande voyage, jusqu'à il est parti. Mais c'est ça la vie. Ouais, comme quand on parle du voyage, on parle du sujet de partir, c'est pour cela que je vous ai amené cette anecdote, pour te dire que il y a deux façons de voyager. Il y a un voyage que tu dois chercher un passeport, un visa, etc. Il y a un autre voyage qui est là, ça ne demande pas de visa, ça ne demande pas de passeport, c'est un voyage naturel, et c'est un cadeau. Cet voyage, c'est un cadeau de Dieu. Ouais, parce que si tu as une longue vie, jusqu'à avoir 100 ans, tu voudras voyager. Tu voudras
essayer de voyager.
Ouais, essayer de voyager parce que tu es fatigué dans ce monde. Oui. Voilà, tu aimerais vraiment partir, rejoindre tes grands-parents, tes frères, tes amis qui sont passés. Tu vois, c'est ça. Et on prie que. Pour tous qui sont passés dans cette porte-là, dans ce voyage aller sans retour-là, que Dieu leur pardonne et leur... Qu'ils se réveillent au paradis. C'est ça, mon dernier mot. Et
c'est important. Vraiment important.
Merci d'avoir participé sur l'émission Radio Teranga.
Merci.
Dirélief, merci voilà, beaucoup.
On se dit Dirélief et bye bye.
Bafao.
Bye bye, bye.
Voilà.
Ok. Pauline, bon, allô.
Voilà. Oui. Le micro, okay. Il est coupé.
Parce qu'on a écouté une autre histoire, sans interruption, s'il vous plaît.
D'accord. Mais quand on parle de Papa Saro, moi, j'interromps tout.
Ok, allez-y.
Voilà. Papa Saro, c'est mon Papa Saro. C'est un grand artiste. Il a aidé beaucoup d'artistes à Dakar qui sont maintenant milliardaires. Papa Saro, lui tout seul. Wallahi. Il donnait des conseils aux artistes. Il était là avec les artistes.
Waouh!
Voilà. C'est un grand. Le voyage qui te parlait, mon Warim Mag, comment on dit ça? Il te parlait des paroles de grand. Medoul. Yalmaïdeg.
Yalmaïdeg.
Voilà. Warum Mag la donwa. Papa Saro. Tout le monde sur terre doit puiser sur Papa Saro. C'est un grand homme.
Voilà. Merci. Merci ok. Beaucoup. Ok. Messieurs, dames, c'est l'heure pour terminer l'émission. Je vous offre le dernier mot.
Oui.
C'était le dernier mot de Pauline Gomis à Paris.
Ouais.
On a écouté bien l'histoire de Mohamed Ba à Londres. Uh-huh. Et on a écouté l'histoire de Mustapha et le départ de son père.
Ouais, un grand monsieur.
Peut-être, Lamine, tu veux dire encore quelque chose?
Moi, je suis. J'ai bien aimé l'émission déjà, la contribution de Mohamed Ba et d'avoir écouté aussi Lamine Dramé. C'est un plaisir. C'est aussi très enchantant d'écouter. Je vous remercie en tout cas et je vous souhaite de passer une très bonne fin de semaine. À tout le monde.
Okay.
Merci. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. Merci bien, Lamine. Michel, tu peux commencer avec le tune, le jingle final.